This podcast is brought to you by my Christmas stocking sampler. Get two of my books and two t-shirts for only $19.99. That's a $50 savings. Order now at HowieCarshow.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
This Thanksgiving is going to suck a bit.
Limit the number of people, do it outside, and wear your mask.
I don't like it to be any number. I like it to be, keep it to your immediate household.
Avoiding direct contact, including handshakes and hugs. Having one person serve all the food so multiple people are not handling the serving utensils.
Cancel your plans if you absolutely do not need to travel somewhere. Cancel your plans. Cannot be more clear here.
And don't go home. Don't go to eat. You can think about it, but don't.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You say you're not going to enforce the order that limits gatherings to 10 people. Tell us why.
I can't enforce the order because I think it's unconstitutional. Governor absolutely has a right to limit how many people can go to a bar or a restaurant, wearing face masks in public buildings, in private businesses. So he has authority to do a lot, but not to tell us as law enforcement to go into people's house and count who's there.
I believe that law enforcement officer violates his or her constitutional duty because you don't have the right to pick laws that you think you will enforce. That's not a law enforcement officer. That's a dictator.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The stock market, Dow Jones Industrial Average, just hit 30,000, which is the highest in history. We've never broken 30,000. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that worked so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Is declaring a sanctuary city for illegal alien fentanyl dealing on welfare, non-English-speaking gangbangers, is that picking and choosing the laws you want to enforce? Governor Cuomo. God. 844-500-4242. I told you earlier in the day that there's a nursing home in Andover, assisted living, whatever you want to call it, facility. Six dead in one of Charlie Parker's nursing homes. He's responsible. His administration is responsible for regulating and policing these nursing homes. And so he's got everything. He's got all the states shut down. No Thanksgiving Day football games. You can't order in a restaurant after 9:30. You know all the BS that's going on. But yet, this nursing home, six people die there. And its name is the Atria Marland Place. Atria Marland Place. Atria Marland Place. And it's owned by this company in Kentucky, Atria Company, something like that. And I looked them up on the Office of Campaign and Political Finance, OCPF, the state reports today. And do you know how much money they've donated to Charlie Parker? $5,500, right around the 2018 election, $5,500, and six people dead at their facility, and nothing happens to them, and yet they're shutting down all these restaurants and social clubs and function halls and gyms everywhere, and yet there aren't any deaths, as far as we can tell, from any of the, or very few deaths. Whereas 6,697 deaths are connected to these nursing homes that Charlie Parker was supposed to be watching out for. That's two-thirds of the deaths are in Charlie Parker's nursing homes. And this is just one nursing home that gave him $5,500, whose operators gave him they're all out-of-staters, too. They're all from Kentucky that gave him the money. But they just wanted to keep operating the nursing homes. And I got nothing against people taking campaign contributions, but you shouldn't let them get away with running these kinds of nursing homes while you're cracking down on people who aren't responsible for the deaths. You're putting them literally out of business. You're stunting the growth of these kids by keeping them in these virtual learning situations where they're not where they're virtually not learning anything, and yet yet there's nothing in the Herald. I told the Herald about it. $5,500 to from this company to Charlie Parker, and they didn't even put it in the story. I think it's legit. Check out my Twitter if you want to see it. At Howie Carr Show, you can see all the contributions. Or just go yourself. Just go to OCPF website, Office of Campaign and Political Finance, and where it says employer, just type in Atria, ATRIA, and you'll see it. It'll pop right up. $5,500 for Charlie Parker. 844-500-4242. But we can't have Thanksgiving. We're going to get to John Kerry in just a moment. But let's first of all, I want to play the supercut from the mainstream media on how we can't have Thanksgiving. Cut 20.
This Thanksgiving is going to suck a bit.
This is not some existential reality. Cancel your plans if you absolutely do not need to travel somewhere.
Travel by car if you must travel.
I don't like it to be any number. I like it to be keep it to your immediate household.
Eat all of the mashed potatoes by yourself. That's what I'm going to do.
Limit the number of people.
Shut up.
Do it outside and wear your mask.
If you go over to a friend's house, mask up the whole time you're not eating or drinking.
If you're a college student, shelter in place for at least 7 days once you arrive.
Separation should be the norm.
Avoiding direct contact, including handshakes and hugs.
Speak softer, because louder voices, shouting, screaming, actually singing, spreads the virus.
So you can't test your way out of or into safety here.
You can't test your way into Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you just can't test your way to that table. That's just not the way
you can't test your way into Thanksgiving dinner.
Having one person serve all the food so multiple people are not
handling. I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. Stop it, Taylor. That's just so obnoxious. Do you think any of these people are going to abide by their own rules? Hell no. Hell no. 844-500-4242. Here's Joe Biden introducing the presumptive Secretary of State, this guy named Tony Blinken, also known as Winken and Nod. Winken, Blinken, and Nod. Which one was Kerry? He was nod off, I guess. Here's the awkward handoff from Biden to Winken, Blinken, and Nod. Cut 7.
Tony Blinken. Get my mask here, Tony, so I don't get in trouble. And we're going to clean off the podium.
Good Lord. Incidentally, I just played some Sununu cuts, and somebody reminded me that there's a story out now today that 7 GOP conservatives in the New Hampshire legislature are seeking an impeachment probe of Sununu. A group of 5 incumbents and 2 newly elected Republican House members, they picked up 56 seats, are pursuing a resolution in the 2021 legislative session to investigate the impeachment of Governor Chris Sununu for abuse of his constitutional authority during the COVID-19 pandemic. The request follows Sununu's decision last week to require that people in New Hampshire wear a mask or face covering in public spaces, indoors and outdoors, when they cannot maintain at least 6 feet of social distancing. Sununu's latest mask order does not impose any fines or punishment for those who refuse to wear one. I'm telling you, if you live in Massachusetts or Maine or even Vermont, I think, this seems moderate. And I know it's very infuriating because we all know, or most of us know, have figured it out, that masks don't mean anything. And even Fauci said that. But, you know, compared to what the other little proto-fascists who are running these states are up to, this is not bad. 508 says, so I don't get in trouble. What a tool Biden is. Yeah, I know. And another 508 says, Thanksgiving is going to suck because of people like this. Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right about that. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie. Howard Lawrence Carr, I'm speaking to you. Is that correct?
Yes, you are.
Okay, calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. You know, I've been listening to, by the way, I'm a longtime listener, mostly as a commuter since 2006.
Thank you.
And I guess in the words of Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. But a lot of people are very upset because we don't feel like we can do anything. You know, I've been donating money to politicians, especially in Georgia. I'm not a wealthy person, but I have given the most ever to try and help with this legal thing. So I've been writing to most of my Republican representatives about the voter fraud and simple steps like paper ballots. But I had an idea that I thought would be better for all of us. If we could all just send a postcard to the Supreme Court, right? And it turns out they're, you know, right in Wikipedia. And all you got to do is put two things on this postcard, right? One, I voted for Trump in 2020. And two, the election was rigged. And that's it. Just two simple statements. Sign it with your legal name as an American voter. And if a bunch of people do that, even a couple million, right, I honestly think the Supreme Court will get a lot of pressure, right?
You have more faith in the Supreme Court than I do, John. Do you really think Elena Kagan cares what you or I think about anything? Ditto Sotomayor or Breyer, or for that matter, John Roberts?
But I think people, you know, got to do something here. You know, we all vote, we all pay attention and all that, and we used to think that was enough, right? But it's pretty clear that this election was totally corrupted. And if we lose that, Howie, if we lose that, where do we go next, right? So the Supreme Court is where this has to end up.
No, it is. I mean, it's going to end up there. I would like to take back a couple of other states, like, for instance, Georgia or Wisconsin, and then stop take those states back from Biden, and then get the vote just totally thrown out in Pennsylvania, and I think that would keep Biden under 270 votes and throw it to the House of Representatives, and then Trump could be reelected. I mean, that's the way I see it going if Trump's to win. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know every permutation that's possible. But thanks for the call, John, and keep listening to the show. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the moon bats win. You're listening to the Howie Carr Show.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
Pasadena bucks Gavin Newsom's prohibition on indoor dining at restaurants. Good work, Pasadena. The little old lady from Pasadena. Famous Jan and Dean song from the 60s. The little old lady from Pasadena strikes back, and little old men and not so old and not so old men and women striking back. Take advantage of Black Friday savings and let HelloFresh spice up mealtime at home with simple, wholesome recipes and fresh ingredients delivered to your door. For a limited time, get $90 off in savings when you use code Howie90 at HelloFresh.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are you still boycotting Fox News?
Yes, I am.
This one stayed pretty steady today. 84% say yes, they're also boycotting Fox News.
Yes, Monday was another bad day for them in the overnight ratings. I saw it on Free Republic. All right, 844-500-4242. Let's see here. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Howie. With President-elect Biden coming in January, does that mean Corn Pop is going to be the new military leader?
Corn Pop, he was a bad dude, Richard. A bad dude. Remember that. Go ahead.
And I found Hunter out here in California for you. He
Oh, yeah?
Has a new personal lawyer, Michael Avenatti.
Thanks for the call, Richard. I don't think Michael Avenatti is taking on new clients. He is now. He's gone from representing clients to becoming a professional client himself. He used to work for Stormy Daniels, among others, and he represented Julie Swetnick too in her fraudulent accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie. A couple things. Breaking news. Governor Newsom's pal, John Gilbert Getty, died around 3:49 today in a hotel room. He was a rock and roller. His older brother died from methamphetamine. But I've spent a lot of time in John Kerry's office in Washington. I was sort of a lobbyist. And all the pictures in that room were of him and Kennedy. It was like he was one of the Kennedy family.
Oh, yeah.
But, besides that, I got a take on this whole idea of him being the energy czar. Wasn't his stepson involved with Hunter in all of that kind of dealing?
He was involved in some of the early dealings, John, but, you know, it's very... very telling, isn't it, that the Hines, his John Kerry's stepson, got out of the deals. He realized how bad it looked or how sleazy it really was, and he stepped away. He got out of it very early on. And, you know, you're right about the Kennedy thing. You know, there's a picture of Kerry as a young man, as a teenager on the boat with JFK. I forget what the name of his sailing vessel was. And Kerry is there, and it's kind of weird because Kerry comes from this old Yankee family, one of the oldest families in New England, Massachusetts, the Forbes family, and yet he's kind of the poor relation here. He's Kennedy's the one, the Irish immigrant son, who's got all the money, and Kerry is just kind of like hanging around. But you know, it's really strange too that when Kerry testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in 71, he made up all that stuff about the atrocities that the U.S. troops were committing in Vietnam, even though he'd only been there for 4 months himself. He was speaking in a Kennedy-esque accent. And if you go back to YouTube and you look at that presentation that he made in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Frank Church was the chairman from Idaho, he sounds like he's mimicking Jack Kennedy. And now he talks not in a fake Kennedy accent, but in sort of his more natural accent, which is North Shore Yankee. You know, it's more patrician than it used to be. And you know, another thing you notice, the difference between 1971 when he testified before the Senate and today, it looks like he's definitely had plastic surgery on his chin, because his chin is not nearly as big as protruding as it is. In 71, he looked like the old man on the mountain. Thanks for the call, John.
Got some more interesting news here, Howie.
And yes.
The laptop from hell isn't going away. Hunter Biden apparently met with Anthony Blinken twice in 2015, according to emails found on the laptop.
But what did they discuss? How good was it?
We don't know yet, but this was shortly after he joined the board at Burisma.
Yeah, this guy Blinken seems like he's a little on the shady side. You know, one of these deep state swamp creatures. His father was a guy who was an ambassador to Hungary, I think, and then he went to high school in Paris. I guess he can speak French with John Forbes Kerry. We'll take some Forbes Kerry calls if you have personal experience with him or just want to say something about him. I'm Howie Carr. It's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they'll use every day. Raycon wireless earbuds. My Raycon wireless earbuds have allowed me to work from home more easily, take my workout outdoors with an awesome playlist, and listen to whatever I want to without disturbing anyone around me. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. And the audio quality is amazing. So this holiday season, get them something they can use for calls or music, for work or play, at home or on the go, or just pick up a pair for yourself. Trust me, you're going to use them every day. Go to buyraycon.com/Howie today to get 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for 20% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/Howie.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. After John Kerry addressed the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he decided to get into politics. He joined the Vietnam Veterans Against the War. You may remember he threw his medals over the White House wall to show Richard Nixon who the boss was. But then it turned out later on that a reporter walked into his Senate office many, many years later and saw the ribbons and the medals from Vietnam framed on the wall and said, "Wait a second, I thought you threw those medals over the White House wall." And he said, no, I threw someone else's medals over the wall. And so then he decided that he was going to run for Congress in Massachusetts because, you know, his mother was a Forbes, so it was his birthright, I guess, the congressional seat. And so first he was going to run in Worcester, but he couldn't scare. I think it was Harold Donahue, I think it was. He was going to run against him. He was this old war horse, about 70, 75 years old. But Donahue couldn't be talked out of the race. So he moved to Lowell, and he was going to run for that seat. And everybody thought he was going to win. But the Lowell Sun, which was then a really big paper in the district and that was owned by the Costello family, Clem Costello hated him, hated Kerry. And they propped up this guy named Paul Cronin. He was a good guy, Paul Cronin. I got to know him later on. He was on the Massport board. Weld put him on there in the 90s. He's dead now, I think. And he defeated Kerry, and you know who hated Kerry? Richard Nixon. That on election night when Nixon was winning 49 states, he knew he was going to win. He was more interested in finding out what happened to Kerry in Massachusetts. And of course, one of the problems Kerry had was during the primary, there were all these people running, you know, all these local yokel Pauls from the Merrimack Valley, from Lawrence, from Lowell. You know, it was the Valley District. And his brother, Cameron Kerry, was arrested while allegedly trying to break into an opponent's headquarters in Lawrence. That wasn't good for him. But he lost. And so he had to go to law school to kill a few years before he could get back into politics. And he became the first assistant district attorney in Middlesex County. And he was the one who prosecuted Howie Winter on the pinball machines. Howie Winter, a good friend of the Howie Carr Show, who just died recently, was a good guy. But, you know, that was how Kerry first made his bones as a prosecutor, was going after Howie Winter. Let's see here. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Howie, how you doing? John Kerry, it's climate site. This is a good one, a Democrat picking a guy that has 6 houses, 12 cars, 2 yachts, and a private jet. And he's got telling us to take the bus to work. Didn't he also, wasn't it one of the yachts, wasn't it a long time ago he registered in Rhode Island?
You got to go, let's go back to the start, Steve. It was his consolation prize after having the election stolen from him, as he still believes, in Ohio by the Diebold voting machines. So Mama T, his wife, who nobody's seen now for several years, she bought him this yacht, but it wasn't even built in the U.S., Steve. It was built in New Zealand. New Zealand! And then you're right, he brings it up, but he wants to avoid paying the excise tax to the town of Nantucket where he was then living, so he registers the yacht in Rhode Island. Yeah, that's right, Steve. And he did have a private jet, but his wife had the private jet. The problem is, once you get used to flying on one of those big military jets, I don't think you can go back. It's like going back to a Yugo after you've been driving a Bentley around for a couple of months. It's just not the same. And so he remember when he hurt himself, he had the bike accident, he hurt his knee or his hip, and he was at one of these great military bases in Germany where they had, you know, the best doctors anywhere in the world, because, you know, they never know what those doctors are going to be used for. Maybe bringing back soldiers that have been hurt in some or CIA or intelligence people in an operation in the Mideast. So they had the best doctors in the world. But he said, no, no, I'm going back to Mass General to get worked on. So they use this jet, even though he's at one of the best hospital facilities in the world in Germany. He flies back on the private, what amounts to, it was not a privately owned jet, but it was a private jet for him. And now that's what he's got. But you're right. I mean, and the other thing too, when he was running for president in 2004, he was talking about this climate change nonsense. And he was, and so I think it was probably the Bush people who went around, but it wasn't hard. He has his second wife's first husband's trust fund owned, I think, five mansions. There was one in suburban Pittsburgh. There was one in Sun Valley or Squaw Valley, wherever it was in Idaho. There was one in Georgetown. They had the mansion at the top of Beacon Hill, Louisburg Square. And I think there was one more. I can't remember where it was. And, oh, Nantucket. It was on Nantucket. That's right. And on Hulbert Avenue or Hulbert Avenue. And so every one of those mansions that his second wife's first husband's trust fund owned had a big brand new SUV out in front of it, at five SUVs. Everyone has to get back on donkeys and ride around because it's very good. We can't raise the level of the seas, and he's got five SUVs, one for each mansion. And so they went to him. They said, how are you talking about the climate change and the carbon footprints when you not only got this jet called the Flying Squirrel, but and all these mansions, and some of the mansions had these huge lawns on them that they had to be watered, which is, you know, they tell you that's bad too for the environment, watering all these lawns. But how can you have five SUVs If you're into your carbon footprint? Well, you know, those aren't my SUVs. Those are my family's SUVs. Oh, okay.
That's John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
Well, there's a whole nother thing too. That was during the convention in 2004. It was held in Boston. Right. And so he said that after he came over on a refurbished Swift boat from Charlestown to Boston, to the city itself. And that's where he got off and then went up to the garden. But the Boston police were threatening to go out on strike, and they were going to screw everything up. And so it was left not to John Kerry to straighten it out, even though he wanted to be president of the United States. He would have been dealing with these, major foreign adversaries and treaties and trade deals and all this stuff. But he couldn't even be bothered negotiating with the Boston police about a new contract or putting his two cents in. He left it to Mumbles Menino and Willard Mitt Romney to work it out with the police union. And he was just there in his mansion in Louisburg Square, you know, like Hamlet. With his head, his chin in his hand, you know, scratching his chin, thinking about everything. What a fraud. What a complete fraud. Dolly, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dolly.
Hi, Howie. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you.
Just got a little story. I was vacationing one time on the vineyard with my husband, and we were walking through Edgartown. And we noticed some commotion over to the left, saw a girl on the floor, so I ran over to her and told my husband to call 911. It was the Atlantic Restaurant, the private yacht club that's up above.
Yeah.
I ran to the girl's side to make sure that she was breathing and had a heartbeat and she was fine. But when I was laying with her waiting for the EMS to arrive, two sets of feet came right up next to me. And I looked up, and it was John Kerry and Teresa Hines. And I looked up, and I said to them, you're not going to walk over her, are you? And they said, they didn't even answer. And the next thing you know, somebody, swept them away through this private door. And I thought, they didn't even ask if this poor girl was okay. I just thought it was a funny sad story.
That is a great. That's a great story, Dolly. I know somebody who was on a vacation with his wife, and they were radio people in Boston, and they were at this decided to go to this fancy restaurant in Rome, and it was a very small restaurant, and it was an off season and all that, and there were the only other people in this small restaurant was Kerry and Teresa Hines. And they saw him, and they looked over and they waved, and they thought that, well, you know, they were talking, and it was pretty clear they were from Boston. And my friend who told me the story told me, he said, I just assumed that he would come over and talk to me as a constituent. You know, I mean, when you see one of your voters 3,000, 4,000 miles away, you say hi to him, right? No, not at all. Same response as you got, Dolly. They didn't speak to them the whole evening, Mama T and John Kerry. That's the way he is. That's the way he always has been. He's a supercilious snot. Johnny, thanks for the call, Dolly. That's a good story. I like that. I like stories like that. And you know they have the angry waitress web pages, you know, where you can talk about I was stiffed by this celeb, and this celeb was really nasty to me and left me a buck on a $100 bill and all this stuff. They might as well call that the John Kerry pages, because everybody is complaining about John Kerry whether he's in Georgetown or Martha's Vineyard now and used to be Nantucket or Boston or anywhere. He's just a rotten guy, and he's a bad tipper, and he throws around quarters like they're manhole covers too. Johnny O, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Johnny O.
Yeah, Howie Carr. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your staff. Grace,
thank you. Same
Taylor,
to you, Johnny O.
To all your families and everything. Two things about, and that was a great story that woman had. That was a great story, because that's the audacity of these people. But two things I always think about, and you always bring it up on the show, is that I was for the war before I was against the war, or was he against the war before he was for the war? And then the botched joke. The botched joke.
Right. You can study hard in school, or you cannot study hard in school, and you'll end up in Iraq.
Everybody knows. I botched a joke.
And the story you're talking about is when the first Iraq war was starting, he put out two letters, one saying, I'm against the war, thanks for your letter, I'm against the war like you are. And then if you were for the war, he would send you a letter and say, thanks for your letter, it's good to hear from my constituents, I'm for the war like you are.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion. Before I voted against it.
That's a different story. But so this guy in Newton, I don't know if he was for or against the war at this point, but he sent Kerry a letter. And 2 days or 3 days later, he gets a letter back from Kerry saying, thank you for writing, you know, I'm against the war just like you are. And then 48 hours later, he gets a second letter in the mail from Kerry stating exactly the opposite. I'm, you know, thanks for that letter, I'm against the war just like you are. And I mean, how much more do you need to know about a guy? That's he would do anything. And you know, can I get me a hunting license here? I mean, that's how he thinks people in flyover country speak. That's how he thinks we do. Most of us listened to the show, and me, we don't live in flyover country, but he thinks we're flyover. Anyone who's not, you know, a professional gigolo who's worth millions of dollars from his marriages and didn't go to Yale, and you know, doesn't have his family doesn't own an island. He owns Nashon Island. The Forbes family owns Nashon Island. He thinks we're all rubes.
And
he
can I get me a hunting license here?
That's the way he thinks all of us talk. Doesn't matter if you're from, you know, Appalachia or from South Boston. He thinks we're all rubes. Can I get me a hunting license here? We'll take some more calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the finest goat's milk soap for dry, rough skin with no chemicals. Safe.
it, Jeffy. When you're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
This tunnel will be a bargain.
This tunnel will be a bargain. Wow, what a
guy.
Can
I get out of here, please?
Who is his favorite baseball player?
Manny Ortiz.
That's right, Manny Ortiz. Yes, indeed. 617, Kathy says, when Kerry fell off his bike in France, he actually had Dr. Burke from MGH fly over to France and then fly back to USA with him. I didn't know he did that. I knew he was flying back there. Dr. Burke is not at MGH anymore. Look him up sometime. A good guy. I know Dr. Burke. He did my hip operation. He's a fantastic orthopedic surgeon, and he got fired wrongfully from MGH for complaining about having to being double booked for operations, and he sued him, and I think he won $13 million. Now he's down at South Shore. If you need any kind of hip replacement, that kind of thing, I would say Dr. Burke at South Shore is fantastic. 844-500-4242. Jimmy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, I got a good John Kerry personal view of it. I was at the Earth Day concert at the Hat Show in 2002, which was headlined by Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
One of the earlier acts was the band Garbage. John Kerry introduced Garbage, and he said, I know two types of garbage, the good garbage and the bad garbage. I'm here to introduce the good garbage.
He's such a happening guy, isn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, I want to say, Grace, congratulations on getting your own show.
Thanks, Jimmy. How about, Taylor, could you find I'm Fascinated by Rop? He wasn't just into garbage. He was into rop music as well. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hi, Howie. Back in the middle 90s when John was running for president, there's a certain congressman that my friends of mine were close to. And they're in the entertainment business, you know, doing the commercials and movies and stuff. I don't want to say the name. But anyways, this one guy I know well took him around on the bus when he was running for president. And Howie, I'm only fooling myself right if I'm lying to you. Every night he served the whole staff nothing but chili. That's how tight he was. Can you imagine that? I mean, not a layout of cold cuts and fish. Howie, it was chilly every night.
Are you surprised? You're not surprised, though, are you? Someone wants me to tell a story about the fire hydrant. We don't have much time left, but there was a fire hydrant. He bought this place. It used to be the old Episcopal Nunnery. Believe it or not, there was an Episcopal Nunnery at the top of Beacon Hill. Louisburg Square. Teresa buys it. Teresa Hines with her first husband's trust fund, and they redo it. But there's only one problem. There's no place to park out in front of the old nunnery because there's a fire hydrant out there. So they moved. They went to City Hall and they had the fire hydrant moved. How many people have ever gotten a fire hydrant moved? I'm John Kerry. I'm Howie Carr.